Welcome to the Investment Answers Podcast. I'm Travis Turlaw.
And I'm Kelly Turlaw, and we're glad you're here.
We're a real couple that owns an actual financial planning firm.
Travis is a certified financial planner, an independent investment advisor representative, and the company's founder and CEO.
And Kelly is the chief operations officer, not only at Investment Answers, but also for our family.
A couple that works together stays together. Well, that might not always be true, but it works for us.
But that's why we make such a good team. I have the language and know-how to navigate this industry, and you're the total paranoid cynic.
All right, there's a lot going on there. Enough about us. What are we talking about this week?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Roth IRA. Happy birthday to you.
Yay!
Yay!
Happy birthday, Roth IRA. How old are you now?
So, the Roth IRA turned 20 years old this year.
20 years old. Wow. 1998. All right. Well, I would have thought Roth IRA had been around a little bit longer.
Well, actually, traditional IRAs have been around longer. They came out in 1974.
So, 44 years old. Okay. Roth IRAs are half of my age, and traditional IRAs are a few years older than me. It's making me feel a little bit old here.
Yeah.
I would have thought they basically had started at the same time. So there's a 20-year difference there. I'm totally confused. I think Gerald Ford was the president, wasn't he? Or was it Jimmy Carter? Who was president in 74?
Well, actually, it was Ford in 74. Carter became president in 1977. But keep in mind that before IRAs were introduced, the majority of the retirement plans available were pensions. But a couple of things happened as the concept of IRAs were first introduced. Number one, the Vietnam War was winding down, and our parents, the baby boomers, were of prime working years. So there was this massive influx of workers into the economy, and there was also a large growth in the industry.
Yeah.
People weren't staying at one job for their entire lifetime, so the IRA was introduced basically as a way to transfer the responsibility of saving for retirement off the companies and making that responsibility more of the individual rather than the company's responsibility.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess I don't really understand why the Roth IRA was introduced 20 years later, though. I mean, if it ain't broke, why fix it kind of thing.
Right. So the Roth IRA is kind of the next phase IRA, but there are some distinct differences between traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs. So just a little bit of history. Senator William Roth of Delaware, who's a Republican senator, he was the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. He proposed the concept of the Roth IRA back in 1997, and it was approved and enforced in 1998 as a part of the Taxpayer Relief Act of 1997.
Okay.
So basically, Senator Roth was concerned about how low the savings rate was for the United States compared to other industrialized countries, and he wanted to entice younger investors and younger workers to save and plan for their retirement. And that's why he originally introduced this bill.
I think Clinton was president then, and they were really working on fiscal responsibility.
Exactly, right.
So, I can see that. So what do you mean as far as enticing to younger investors? What does that mean?
Well, the first part of it was flexibility. So what the Roth IRA allowed you to do, it was after-tax dollars that you could contribute to this plan. In the meantime, you could actually take those contributions out if you had to without some sort of a government penalty or a tax consequence because you took them out too early.
Okay, well, our kids are young. It sounds like a Roth IRA would be ideal for them. It could be a great opportunity for them to start, you know, investing for their future savings if they set one up when they're like 10.
Sure. Well, just keep in mind that the Roth IRA contribution laws are the same as the traditional IRA contribution law. So you actually have to have earned income in order to contribute to a Roth IRA, just the same as you would as a traditional IRA.
So like a W-2 or a 1099 income?
Right.
Oh, I see. So if you're like a childhood actor or a model, or if you have one of those monetized YouTube channels, or I don't know, maybe being a teenager that's working at a grocery
Grocery store,
or the mall.
If you have W-2 income, or if you have earned income than you can contribute to a Roth IRA. Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Right. And this, some of the same restrictions for contribution limits are the same as well. So if you are under 50 years old, you can contribute up to $5,500 per year for both a traditional and a Roth IRA. And if you're over 50 or 50 and older, you can do what's called the catch-up contribution, where you can contribute $1,000 more or $6,500 to either a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. So those are the same with respect to those two types of concepts.
So there are some similarities. I can see that, but I could see how this would be kind of a paperwork nightmare, or at least require some sort of awareness from, let's say, a teenager is working at a jewelry store, right, exactly, or a shoe store or something at the mall.
Right.
There's some type of awareness that they're going to have over their paycheck. So if they do some sort of automated contribution from their paycheck to automatically go into this Roth IRA that they have set up, and they can only do like $5,500 a year, then that's really only maybe $450 per month or something like that. So if they're working all 12 months out of the year, then they need to be aware that they can't contribute more than $450 per month. Or if they maybe take the summer
automated or something like that.
Yeah, they just kind of need to be aware of what went in.
You don't want to overfund it, because then that's not allowable. But, and also, just keep in mind that you want to keep your paperwork, make sure that you have some sort of documentation for yourself.
Yeah.
Because these are contributions, and the IRS knows what you've contributed and what the growth is. But keep in mind that this can be good for them later on in life. As they contribute over years, they will be able to take out their contributions tax-free and penalty-free, and they can leave the growth of the account in there for distributions later on in life.
Yeah, kind of a cool idea. I can see if you're a kid that has a job at like 16 or 17, maybe saving for retirement isn't something that they're necessarily thinking about. So I could see how maybe the parent or their guardian would want to sort of encourage this kind of long-term thinking from exactly. them, because they're probably working to save for a car or a trip to Cancun with their friends or something like that. Or in theory, they could actually be living paycheck to paycheck,
right,
or helping their family with expendable and variable expenses. So I could see how putting $400 away a month towards their quote unquote retirement might seem totally unrealistic to a teenager.
Starting early, especially if you are in a low income tax bracket, something like this where you wouldn't need the tax deduction, this would help you tremendously as you start now for many, many years down the line. Because if you don't need that tax deduction, you don't have to contribute to a traditional IRA. So you get those after-tax dollars
right.
put in there, and that eventually, once you hit retirement age, all of those distributions come out completely tax-free, income tax-free.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. When you think about it, if you're 17, 18, thinking about putting the money away till 60, I know people in their 50s that feel like putting money away till their 60s is too far away. So sure. I can totally see how if you're in your teens or 20s, or even if you're a 10-year-old that built some app for the app store,
right,
I can see how they wouldn't necessarily want to put the money away, but they're making less in theory, they're sure. making less when they're younger than when they're
in a lower tax bracket.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. So starting early, it just gets you in the mindset for saving. That's what Senator Roth was intended to do 20 years ago. He wanted to have the younger workers, the younger investors, start saving. But he wanted them to be able to have flexibility for the contributions, and then incentivize them and say, look, if you keep this in here until you're 60 years old,
sure,
every dollar that comes out can be income tax free. And if you don't need the distributions, unlike a traditional IRA, you don't have to take a required distribution out when you're 70 and a half with it, which is another incentive for this type of a concept.
I don't think people necessarily realize the challenge of the required minimum distribution that you have to take when you're 70 and a half.
Because you're not thinking that far ahead.
Yeah, they're that's probably thinking, shoot, I have to have this money.
Right.
Gosh, that's so tough.
Exactly.
So probably not something that they would understand as the benefit, but long term, they're going to appreciate having put the money in over time.
Exactly.
I just see the value in maybe they decide to go to grad school and they need additional money, or mm-hmm. they decide to buy a house. This would be kind of nice. You and I had talked about 529 plans from time to time, so I could kind of see how continued education, this would be something that you put in when you were working, maybe grad school, so exactly. much work.
So this is something that a parent can that do you couldn't for work. For educational expenses for their children instead of a 529 plan. So
sure.
the 529 plan is an educational plan where you can get a tax deduction for putting it in there, and the money, if it's used for educational purposes based on certain restrictions, can come out tax-free for the benefit of the child for educational purposes. However, what happens if the child doesn't go to school for college or something like
true.
That, and that money sits That's there? Well, true. Eventually that money is going to come out and it's going to be taxable. However, if you contribute to a Roth IRA, you're putting after-tax dollars in there, but you have the flexibility to take your contributions and pull them out income tax-free, penalty-free from the IRS for purposes of education. But if your child doesn't go to college or doesn't need it for that purpose, now you've got
you don't have
a
that
retirement
penalty.
Account that you can have sit there for as long as you keep the account active.
Yeah.
And it can be used for your retirement or an extra savings account 20, 30, 40 years down the line.
Well, I could see how being in 2018 and for the next, is it 8 years that you've got this tax benefit? So I
You're
could
talking
see,
about the new tax reform law to 2025?
Yeah, I think that's also kind of a benefit for something like this, because
a lot of people are going to end up in a lower tax bracket this year. And
you sort of get that bang for your buck
exactly.
later so on. So just put it away if you can now, but then you only have up to $5,500.
Which is why it makes this concept so appealing to a lot of people. If
especially
they think
in
the
low
taxes
tax
are going to go higher
times.
Over time, they're going to be in a higher tax bracket over time. To be able to save this amount of money in a low tax bracket now is going to benefit you decades down the line.
But just keep your paperwork so you know how much money you actually
have to have
put
it documented,
in.
Know what it's documented for, how much you contribute, and how much you've grown, so you know what you can and can't take out if you have to take a distribution.
Totally, totally. Yeah. You don't want to take out too much and then get an early withdrawal penalty on accident.
That would be bad.
Because you can't give it back
and
skip the penalty. So, well, I guess our Roth IRA is a better option all the time than a traditional IRA for young people or people in lower tax brackets?
Well, that's a good question. I get asked that a lot. What performs better, a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA? And the first thing that I try to have the client understand is the Roth IRA or traditional IRA, that's the tax status. So that's how it will be taxed as it goes in or comes out. The performance of that account is based on where it is invested. So it could be in a stock, or it could be in a bond, or a mutual fund, or annuity, or whatever that is. That will determine the performance of that account. The fact that it's a Roth IRA or traditional IRA, that's simply the tax status for contributions and withdrawals.
So is it when you need to access the money that's going to determine it, when you think you may need to access the money? Is that going to be what determines whether or not a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA is a better investment choice for you?
Well, that's a whole nother bag of worms. Why don't we do a separate podcast and compare the two? We can call it traditional IRA versus Roth IRA, the tax pit.
That would be hilarious. We can see which one gets like the Uncle Sam slam.
Yeah, or the income leg lock.
Who will survive the tax gauntlet?
Exactly.
So, Travis, what if people want to learn more?
Well, Kelly, I'm glad you asked. For more information on this or any other topics we've discussed, or to check out our disclaimer, go to www.investmentanswers.net or email us directly at info@investmentanswers.net. Investment Answers, leave uncertainty behind. Until next time, I'm Travis Turlaw.
And I'm Kelly Turlaw.
And thanks for listening.